All right, so this is our first podcast. This is the Heath Post podcast. The Heath Post is a blog that Matthew and I do, and until recently we had a third person on the site who calls himself Go Heath, and but for now it's just the two of us, and so this is our podcast, and this is officially our first podcast, although we sort of played with one last time. So anyway, here we go. So I guess we're going to talk through kind of what we've been doing at the Heath Post, which is at heathpost.com.
So
introduce yourself.
Yeah, this is Matthew. I suppose we're going to go back to, what, a week ago? And just talk about what we posted during the last week.
Why don't we just go in reverse order from now? And okay. Why don't we just go backwards?
That's fine.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that way we'll just cut off after 30 minutes wherever we are.
Okay. That works for me.
The most recent post then is something this morning. So I live in Madisonville, Kentucky, which is in the western end of Kentucky, although not all the way out. And Matthew and I and Go Heath, who was also part of the site, we all grew up in West Paducah, Kentucky, which is in very western Kentucky. And we all went to school together, high school together. And I have lived other places, but now I live in Madisonville, which is a town of about 22,000 people, I think, something like that, in western Kentucky. And so I kind of have an ongoing series at the Heath Post called Oh Kentucky, which is based on an old tourism motto for the state. And so I sporadically post these Oh Kentucky posts, which are kind of roundups of news from around the state, little news items that I gather from. I monitor all kinds of local newspaper email bulletins and Twitter feeds and that sort of thing. So I just kind of grab up a dozen of those or so and drop them into a post called Oh Kentucky. And so we've had a couple of those in the last few days. And so today I'm stumping for a girl. I'm being very local. I'm stumping for a girl who drew a potential Google Doodle, and she goes to a local middle school. And we can all vote for her through March 6th for her Google Doodle, because it'll be a lot of money to the school and a scholarship for her. And she did a beautiful potential Google Doodle called "The Future Is Love," and I guess that's one of the main things in the post. I don't even know if Matthew's had an opportunity to look at this one.
No, yet. I haven't. I haven't looked at the. I was just looking at the picture, and the funny thing is,
so no one's read my post.
No, the funny thing is, though, that when I looked at her doodle, the first thing I thought it said was "Love is greed." And I thought, wait, no, that's not how you spell greed. Oh, it's great. Oh.
Okay. No,
that's where my mind is.
So the other thing, I'll just pull out one little other item out of this.
Casting my vote as we speak.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Apparently you can vote every day through March 6th, so please keep doing that. Another item from that post that I'll pull out, I went to Western Kentucky University and was involved in sports writing and stuff like that. And I had met this fellow before. He was an assistant football coach when I was around when I was a student at Western. He was kind of still around the program in some kind of volunteer capacity or something. But anyway, a fellow named Butch Gilbert, Coach Gilbert. And anyway, I learned a lot more about his life today. He died. He was 87 years old, but he had a really lively football career all there in Bowling Green. He was a star at Bowling Green High School in the 40s, and then he went to Western. And the news feed that I picked up is from the local television station, WBKO, and they said that in 19 so he plays in the homecoming game. He was the center in 1950, and they're playing Eastern Kentucky, which is a major rival, particularly in football. It's Murray State more in basketball, but in football, they're playing Eastern Kentucky on homecoming. and they tie up the game on a long touchdown pass. And then and Butch Gilbert was the center, and then he comes around and kicks the winning extra point. So anyway, he had a big career, and then he was a big high school football coach all in the area, and then was an assistant football coach with the football team when they were really good, and helped develop these guys who went and played in the NFL. And anyway, he was kind of a local hero. Yeah, absolutely a local hero. So anyway, rest in peace, Butch Gilbert.
That's cool.
So anyway, Matthew can't comment on that one because he hasn't even read it. We'll see if he's read the next one. So it's going to be a long string of me talking.
That's fine.
So we're continuing to stay very local to Bowling Green.
Well, apparently Bowling Green is the hotbed of all terrorist activity in the world.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we've got a guy who was arrested. He's from Turkey. And this is in that Old Kentucky Post. And the news broke yesterday that there's a fellow that has been...
Well, I didn't understand from the story. Has he actually been arrested?
You know, that's a good question. I may have that detail wrong. But in any event, there is a fellow that has been identified in Bowling Green, a Turkish man who has been identified by the Austrian government as someone who is hacking their government website. So I don't know if he's been apprehended or not. But anyway, so yeah, Bowling Green. There you go. And yeah, we had the case.
Yeah, the massacre recently, and then this. So.
Yeah, had the massacre guys, the faux massacre, and the two Iraqi terrorists. They had been involved with their fingerprints had been found on IEDs, and then they were discovered and apprehended from Bowling Green. So yeah, Bowling Green has a large. I struggle here to say whether it's a refugee community or immigrant community. I think it would be more correct to say they have a large refugee community.
I would have assumed that most of these people in Bowling Green were there because of the university, but.
Well, there's that. There is that, but it also has, for example, it has a number of Somali refugees.
That's interesting.
And, so in any event, yeah. So
they had a really good. Sorry, this is off topic a little bit, but yeah. I guess I'm thinking about that Rand Paul thing. But they did have a really good This American Life a few weeks ago now, where they focused specifically on the issue of okay, so we need to upgrade the method to use the vetting. And so what does that actually mean? Like, what's the current mm-hmm. system in place? How does that work? Mm-hmm. What changes would make sense? And it's very interesting because that's a question that honestly I'd never heard anybody address. And
yeah.
Bowling Green, it's, Bowling Green's at the center of all that, right? Because that was when the last changes to the vetting occurred was back.
Right. We're driven, as I understand it, we're driven by that case specifically.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what plays out with that. The next post is, I do all these posts by like some series. I never do just one-off things, but they're always like in some kind of ongoing series. And so the next one is
really?
Part of the Freakin' Weekend series, which is, so I continue to.
Oh, you mean, you're going to the next post. Okay.
Yeah. So. This is looking at the weekend of February 27, 28, and 29, 1971. So I listen to music and watch TV shows from the same dates, but in 1971 or just moving forward. This started in 1968, so 3 years ago. And I've continued to do that and just kind of move sequentially through the calendar. As we go. And so we continue to stay in Bowling Green. The big thing last night, 1971, was the big Murray Western basketball game, men's basketball game. And so the 1971 Hilltoppers, that's the best team in Western history. They're going to end up going to the Final Four. But last night, they clinched, last night, 1971, they clinched the Ohio Valley Conference championship with a convincing victory over Murray State, which had given them their only OVC loss of the season to that point. And so anyway, I was reading a little bit about the post mentions that game's coming up, and there's actually a little bit of a clip from that game that's it's silent, but there's a clip of the game that's available on YouTube, so that's posted there in the freaking weekend site from yesterday, or post from yesterday. But this I found really interesting. I was reading about this game, and at least according to the College Heights Herald, which is the college paper at Western, at the time, when this Murray game at Western took place, it had the highest attendance of any college basketball game ever in Kentucky, in the state of Kentucky, up until that point. Yeah, yeah, excellent. At the largest crowd to ever witness a basketball game on a college campus in Kentucky. Maybe there's a distinction there. Maybe there were games at Freedom Hall or something. That's probably so. But 14,227 people attended this game at Dillard Arena in Bowling Green. And so Western wins, and they won, let's see, what was the final? It was 73 to 59 was the win. So this was huge, because now Western has clinched the OVC, and that means at the time, of course, there was no conference tournament. So that also clinches an NCAA tournament berth in the Mideast Regional. That's all set up, you know, that's all kind of hardwired of who goes where. And so they're going to head to the Mideast Regional. And one of the opponents, how the bracket will work, is the SEC champion. And I think by this point, UK has already clinched the SEC championship. They're certainly leading. So that's going to be a huge deal.
So when the OVC started doing a tournament?
I want to say that was when that was in the as long ago as the late 70s. I know that.
So around the same time everybody else started.
Before the SEC tournament.
So I was looking at Memorial Gym. So Memorial Gym, the capacity was 12,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if Diddle Arena was bigger,
yeah,
that
so
would
there you
make
go.
Sense that that would be the largest. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's funny. That's funny to think about.
Yeah. Well, this was a huge deal. This team had this did not come out of nowhere. They this was a senior dominated team. They had four guys: Jim McDaniels, Jim Rose, Clarence Glover, and Gary Sunmacher, who were at the ends of their Western careers. And when McDaniels came out of Scottsville, Kentucky, he was the, at least by some reports, the highest recruited athlete in the country, basketball player in the country at the time. And he sort of convinced – oh, are you still there?
Yeah, yeah.
He sort of convinced the other guys, Rose and Glover, to join him. The story goes that he convinced them to join him at Western. Those two were also from Kentucky. Jim Rose from Hazard. He was an outside shooter, as I understand it. And then Clarence Glover, who was a forward. And he was from Horse Cave, which is not far from Bowling Green. But let's see. Jim Rose was going to somewhere out west. Where's the story go? Yeah, I think he was going to – no, he was going to Houston. So after Alvin Hayes had made that a big deal, he was going to go to Houston, and Clarence Glover was going to Florida State. And all these guys come out in the same year. Jim McDaniels had been at least somewhat recruited by UK to be the first African-American player there. So he was a big deal.
Right, right.
And then he convinces the other two to come with him. And Sunmacher was a junior college transfer. He had actually played at Paducah. On a National Junior College Championship team there. And so this was a big deal. This was a good team.
Cool.
They knew they were going to be good, and they were. And they are steadily, they're around the top 10 all year long. I think they'd gotten as high as number 4 in the country a little earlier in the year. They'd slipped back a little bit after Murray beat them at Murray in a very close game, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago in 1971. And so they had slipped a little bit in the rankings. But they were known to be good, and they were that good. And now they are headed to the NCAA tournament.
Well, you look, I mean, that in the posts on the Heat Post, you have the top 20, and Murray State 17. So it's not like they lost to
yeah.
a bad
yeah.
team. So
yeah.
It's
yeah,
crazy to think the OVC had two teams in the top 20. That's kind of mind-boggling. But
it is. It is pretty wild. They are they're going to end up losing, and I think Eastern was good that year. The Western's going to end up losing one more game. They lose their last regular season game to Austin Peay. So the OVC was very, very good.
That's odd.
I wonder if
yeah.
they. That's interesting. I wonder. Well, they had already clinched, so I wonder if they were just kind of.
Yeah, yeah, they did. In that game, they started a bunch of reserves. Although they were leading, when those reserves left the game, and the starters came back in. But anyway, Austin Peay was good too, and yeah, it was just a great. It was a great conference, particularly that year. So. So anyway, that's what's going on there. So there's some other stuff in that post. And okay, and then I think it's me
it's
again.
All you. It's all
gonna
you.
Be all
I haven't
me,
done
but,
anything. Yeah, I haven't
yeah,
done
this
anything.
This is brutal. This is brutal. It's just going to be a whole bunch of me talking. So more O Kentucky. Let's see. The CEO of Humana, which is a big healthcare company, the health insurer in based in Louisville, was it Washington yesterday, part of a junket to purportedly talk healthcare reform, replacing the ACA. So that was going on. I don't know, some different stuff going on. Yeah, so you responded about the in Catlettsburg, Kentucky, the police had put on their car.
Well, that was a national story. I mean, that was yeah. covered nationally, so yeah, I'd read about that ahead of time.
Yeah, so what's the deal? Do you know anything about this comic book character?
Oh my god, yeah, yeah, okay. No, yeah, Rob Parsley was a huge Punisher fan when we were in college, so.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So, what's the deal? He's a vigilante murderer
yeah,
of some
yeah,
sort?
Yeah, his, I forget the backstory exactly, but it's sort of in the same vein as Rambo, right? You take the idea of
yeah.
Rambo, and then you take it and you kind of create this comic character out of that, or Death Wish, you know, that series, right?
Yeah.
So you've got this guy. I think something horrific happens to his family. He's, you know, pretty much goes crazy. Decides he wants justice. That the law doesn't work. That, you know, and so he sets out to essentially kill the bad guys.
Okay.
Like, he's not arresting people or taking them to jail
right.
or anything.
Right.
Like, he's the first real comic book character I can think of that went beyond that. Yeah. You know, most of those guys try to work within the law, and he does not. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So the police in Catlettsburg, which is in Eastern Kentucky, were using this logo of this comic book character as part of some kind of Blue Lives Matter stickers that they were putting on their cars. But they said they were sorry and they took them off. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm still not sure I understand. Well, and I thought about this later. Like, you know, so is ignorance. I mean, you know, they essentially said, we had no idea. We thought this
yeah.
was like a military thing. And
right.
But even then, I thought, well, you know, military and police are kind of different, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, you know, I think we're all supposed to just pipe down.
Yeah.
They said they were sorry, and they took off the stickers, and so we should all just, all of us snowflakes should just be quiet. So,
move
okay.
on. Yeah. Move on. Nothing to see here.
That's right. Nothing to see here. There is one more thing I wanted to pull out. I thought this was really interesting writing. So, the, you know, like, every other, I would imagine, like every other governor in the state or senator or representative, Kentucky's Governor Matt Bevin circulates, I don't know how frequent it is, but probably weekly op-ed to whatever newspapers or outlets that will use it. And this last week's was published in the Hazard Herald. And anyway, I thought that some of the language in it was really, was kind of telling and interesting. And it says, let me pull this up. So sorry. The fight drive and determination that cleared the dense forests of this region and turned them into beautiful meadows where thoroughbreds graze remains an integral part of our culture. The work ethic that ventured deep underground to provide coal that energized the nation is woven into our people's DNA. This is part of his last paragraph. I think that this whole notion of humans harnessing the earth for progress. Anyway, they're clearly trying to hammer that, you know, Governor, whoever's writing this, well, maybe it's Governor Bevin, maybe Governor Bevin's writing it himself, but whoever it is kind of like hammering on that notion of, you know, that's what frontier people do, is we harness the earth for human progress. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
I thought, to me, the most interesting thing about that, and this is something, I mean, I've been out of Kentucky now for a long time. I live in Idaho. And before that, I lived in North Carolina, and before that, Pennsylvania. So I've been out of Kentucky for a long time. But I thought what was interesting to me about that is I've never had the impression from Kentucky that they want to be North Carolina, that they want to be Tennessee, that they want to be Texas. My impression from Kentucky is they want to be Kentucky. They're happy being Kentucky. They want jobs. They want security. They want health care. They want all those things. But they don't necessarily want to be the crown jewel of manufacturing and engineering and all this stuff. I mean, I found that to be kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
that's changed. I don't know. I mean, maybe that. But Kentucky has never been overly aggressive at courting, you know, manufacturing jobs or businesses mm-hmm. or things like that. I mean, you think about the Toyota deal. Who was that? Was that Martha Lane?
It's Martha Lane Collins. Yeah, I mean, that's in Martha.
That's
in
been
the 80s.
That's a long time ago. And that was so, the last time I can remember them really aggressively going after.
Yeah.
Something, but
so I do think that Governor Bevin would just flatly reject what you just said, and so we are absolutely aggressive, but or at least trying to become more aggressive, and that is in fact a big part of his push. That's a big part of his agenda. I heard
no,
somebody.
I
speak.
Guess what I'm saying is that something the people of Kentucky want?
Yeah,
that would be my question.
Yeah, that's a good question. I heard a speaker last week. He's in small business development at he's part of Murray State University. I feel like we're talking about four things over and over again. But anyway, he's part of Murray State, and he's in small business development for Western Kentucky. And he was talking about how, first of all, he said his impression of Governor Bevin's administration, he really wasn't making a political statement. He said, you know, whether you root for him or not, whether you're for this administration or not, that the whole, everything that he's doing is about workforce development. And I thought that was interesting. And so I've been trying to think about that a little bit in the last week in reading news and see if I think that's correct. But the other thing that this guy said that kind of like speaks to your point is he said that Fort Campbell, which is in Western Kentucky, is spending out, I forget how many he said per month, but I think it was, I want to say 300. There's 300 people that are rotating out of active military duty in some kind of honorable discharge type situation.
Sure.
You know, they're just cycling, and these people are highly trained and proven in their ability to, you know, function in a workplace and that sort of thing. And so it's this huge spigot of qualified, trained workers, you know, who are ready to go into the marketplace. And he was talking about, I don't know how long ago he was, but how long ago this was, but this guy was talking about, he was so frustrated. He went to a job fair in Fort Campbell, and which is right on the Kentucky border with Tennessee.
Right.
And, but it's in Kentucky. And he said that there were 75 companies that were there interviewing potential employees, and only three of them were from Kentucky. The rest were from Tennessee. So I thought that was real. And that kind of maybe speaks a little bit to what you were saying, but in terms of not being real aggressive.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting. He's obviously targeting the pension, right?
Mm-hmm.
The state pension system.
which is something that's become common for Republican governors. And I don't know, that, you know, that concerns me, but
yeah,
that's, you know, it's funny. I was reading something, there was a piece recently I was reading about the state of Kansas, which is something I haven't followed that closely. I don't know if you follow much about Kansas, but you know,
no, not at all.
The governor there was made famous when he first came in because one of the comments he made was, I forget the wording exactly, but essentially what he said was, we're going to be a great experiment.
Okay.
Right? And his conservative ideas of how we're going to run this stuff. And so they slashed business taxes. They slashed taxes for what they call pass-through income.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so investment income, things like that. And, you know, that's essentially the same things that you hear Trump talking about now that people like Bevin would like to do in Kentucky. And I it would be interesting to take a harder look, I think, for the rest of the country at Kansas and say, well, okay, what's working there, what's not working there?
Yeah.
Is this something the rest of us really want? I mean,
yeah.
Kansas is running a $360 million deficit because all these cuts they've made have not, they're not getting the money out of it they expected to get.
Hmm.
And where the rest of the country's GDP has grown at like 9.2% during this time that he's been the governor, Kansas's GDP has grown at like 2.something%. So
okay.
The question is, why is that? You know, why is it growing so slow? If you've made all these incentives to bring companies in there and grow your GDP, why isn't it growing? What's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know, but I wish it's hard because it's hard to find that kind of coverage anymore.
Like, yeah,
people just don't. You know, nationally they tend to cover large national stories. If something like that's happening in Kansas, it's kind of hard to, unless you're going to go seek it out, it's kind of hard to follow it.
Yeah, I do think you have to go seek it out. I think that that there's more availability of, like, you can get into these agencies and nonprofits and stuff that perform the data analysis. I think there's less coverage of that analysis from kind of independent media. But if you know what you're looking for or know what you're going for, you can – you know, the great thing about access is you can actually just go and deal with the agency directly as opposed to
that's true.
Sifting through some. But you have to know what you're looking for. So Terrence Jones is waived.
Yeah, I don't know if he got picked up on anybody or not.
It disappoints me. I was so excited about
hoping the Cavaliers or somebody might get him. You know, somebody go.
yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not working out so well for the Pelicans.
No.
With Cousins and Davis together. So
the Pacers, turn that around. The Pacers have signed Terrence Jones.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
so there you go.
There you go. All right. Oh, good. You landed on his feet. I was excited about having all three of those guys, you know, on the same team in New Orleans, but
well, I think I think I wrote on the thing, he was one of the players who people thought would be on the way out.
Yeah.
They had too many big men. After they got Cousins, they had too many big men. So there was the question of who would they keep, who could they trade.
Yeah.
And Jones is kind of a natural one to move because there's so many concerns over his health.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's really quite sure if he can play. I mean, that's the big question, right?
Yeah. Long but we term. Don't care about that. We just went a bunch of UK guys on the same roster. That's fun to watch.
Oh, it just was the Suns.
Yeah. Well, that's
the Suns. They've got four at this point, so. And they're the only team in the league, so go figure. I just think it's funny, this notion that, oh, now we have Cousins and we have Anthony Davis, we should go hire Calipari. That makes no sense to me.
That's absolutely what I think is going to happen. I'm scared to death they're going to get Calipari.
But that makes no sense. Why would he do that? What would be the appeal there? You know, you've got if anybody knows all of Cousins' flaws, it's probably Calipari.
Oh, well, that's true. You know. I don't know. I don't know. But that's what I'm scared of this offseason is his going to New Orleans to coach the team there. But
I figure the thing for Calipari, if there comes a day where he wakes up and he says, you know, I'm just sick of recruiting.
Yeah.
That's when I think Kentucky has to get worried.
But yeah.
Until that happens, I mean, why would you leave? He seems very happy, I think, being what he is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a national figure. He has his own podcast now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's right. Much like we
got
do.
A podcast. Yeah.
That's right.
Everybody has a podcast. So we're running low on time. So what are you hoping to talk about this next week? Is there anything special coming up we should keep an eye out on?
So I guess I'm mostly excited about trying to find an Everly Brothers clip from the from the February 28, 1971 Ed Sullivan show.
There you go.
Because they opened that show by playing their song Bowling Green. And this performance was on YouTube fairly recently, within the last year, and it has now been taken down or disappeared or what have you.
That's weird. I wonder why it got pulled.
So I'm excited about that. And I am excited about I'm starting to sort my I'm starting to realign my baseball cards with the 1971 rosters. So I've got a lot of sorting to do in the next week. So I'm pretty excited about that. I can talk a little more about that process next
baseball on the next podcast. Is coming up.
That's right. So we've got the we'll be seeing if the Orioles can repeat. And I'm getting very excited about the A's, who are kind of an up and coming team in the majors. I'm a big A's fan. So,
what's their roster at that point? Well, we can get into that, I guess, when it comes up. But.
Yeah. So I guess I'll try to. I did see that the one story that I saw about the A's this week was that I think he was their player representative at the time, but he was talking about. I'll tell you what. I'm just going to say that for next week because I want to get the details correct. So okay. I should have prepared myself for that. So there you go, podcast.
Yeah,
number.
Maybe next week I'll actually try to prepare ahead of time.
I'll try to
read the post.
Well, that wasn't fair. That's just
you know what we should do is we should do any posts that go up on Tuesday. We can't do.
Can't do. Yeah, that's right.
It's just a Monday.
Well, you know, this is all. It's all in.
I haven't had a chance to look at your freaking weekend post either, so.
It's all right. Sometimes I don't look at them for weeks, you know.
No, same here.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, shoot. That was one of the – I can do this in the next podcast. But that was, actually, I was going to talk all about this post that Go Heath did from, like, 5 years ago. I was so excited. I stumbled upon it this week, and it was so – oh, well. I'll talk about
what
it
was
next.
That? What was – yeah, okay.
It was UK versus Robert Morris. In the NIT,
when they lost, yeah.
And he did like that. He did the at that point he was still doing the play by play.
Yeah.
And you know these kind of like in the comments, of, like all the way through. And there's like 120 comments all from him, and it's just such despair.
Oh, sure.
It's just dripping with despair. It is so great. It's such a great post, but it makes me miss Go Heat. All right.
I guess that's it. I should get some album reviews out before the next podcast. That's about it for me.
Are you going to really try to do music from the start and the end of this podcast?
Yeah, we got to. I'll come up with something. It's funny. I was thinking about what you said. So the listeners, of course, will already know what we picked, but because they'll be listening to the podcast, it will have the music at the beginning.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, I think – I forget what song you said, but I think I'm just going to try to find a MIDI version. Maybe I'll try to find a MIDI version of the song Bowling Green.
Oh, there you go. It could be a different MIDI every week.
That's like open – you know, that's open source or whatever, so we can just use it. But
You could do a different MIDI every week. That could be our theme, and then we could have Guess the MIDI.
I'm not sure how we would ever know who guessed.
That'll pack them in. Well, you know, all the people
on
who
the podcast. I guess that's true on the podcast post.
Yeah, exactly.
In the comments, people could put their guesses for
that's right.
First, I have to first find MIDIs that are open source so we can use them, I guess. That's the other thing. But
yeah, that's true.
I know how to find open source images. I'm not sure how to find open source music. I'll have to look into that. Yeah, that'll give me something to do tonight, I guess. But
we have a bit of a checkered history in this area because, you know, we were,
yeah.
We were in
we
charge
don't want to
of
get the lawyers.
The, we,
don't we
were in
the
charge of
either.
The illegal Heath High School yearbook one
yeah,
year. So.
True. Hey, we wrote them. That's all I got to
say. Oh, man. Well, we can't mention that until it goes to public domain. So. All right. The end. Goodbye.